native dogs, yeah. Back on top. The dogs in the land of the wild. Alabama-loo.
She is so concerned yeah. right now.
Where I'm just reading out names of, like, Georgia players, right?
See?
Yeah, that's right.
Champ Bailey Craig Blue. Jordan Davis.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. That's barking as a sign of our newfound respect for the Georgia Bulldogs, because that's what we are. We are a podcast full of University of Georgia respecters.
Alums,
sure, all yeah. three of us. Jason, you went to the UGA John Deere School of Business. Is that correct?
I don't know about newfound here. I was born in Georgia, unlike y'all, so... I welcome y'all aboard the bandwagon. That's fine. We're a welcoming nation. I mean, you know, you're both lifelong fans as well, so it's not like I'm one-upping you in any way, other than I'm literally was born in the state of the current national champion's greatest program in all of college football. You know, but that doesn't make me better, other than the way it does.
No, but you're right. There's a lead dog. Their lead dog is a phrase for a reason, and you're it.
Yeah, I am. I was almost as old as our previous national title, but now very few people in the world, relatively speaking, are as old as our most recent national title. I don't know anyone who is younger than our current most recent national title.
If so, they're not to be trusted. They just got here.
They don't know a damn thing. Don't know about damn thing about college football.
I mean, not disrespected the new recruiting class of 2022, so to speak. Welcome aboard. You're all five stars as far as I know. Don't want to alienate anybody because it's part of Kirby's plan. We got to recruit from birth, okay? When they come out of the chute, it's time to recruit. That's Kirby's thing, okay? Mm-hmm. We're sizing up the toddlers.
Shooting up
the newborns.
Wait.
Yeah. Does it rhyme? Then it's time. If it comes down the chute, we must recruit, okay? That's why we got people in every single...
Best in town once they crown.
That's correct. And by the way, thematically appropriate, because who is on Georgia's roster, as we discovered this week?
It's the earliest I've ever seen Server just put his head in his hands.
That's correct. A player named Braxton Hicks.
I don't know how we made it through the season without knowing that this was a thing. No. But the best part to discovering this was the thread of some of these men I know have children. The thread of dudes going, what?
Oh, what's funny about that name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shows me exactly how engaged you were in this process. We will, as we always do, continue to respect the dogs throughout this podcast. I do have one thing I want to discuss first. Did you happen to see the Buffalo Bills beat the living hell out of the New England Patriots?
As a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, yeah, I did.
Tables fear you, beers respect you.
Why would that be? Okay. Josh Allen, greatest quarterback in college football history, throwing a
just like we drew it up.
Perfect game in the NFL playoffs against Bill Belichick.
Just like we said he would.
The man who completed like 12% of his passes in college is now the greatest quarterback of all time.
Listen, man, you don't just walk into the Saturday morning chess tournament against Josh Allen and expect to walk out with all your own blood.
You know, at the time it was, wow, that gigantic dude throws the ball 40 rows up in the stands every play. What a failure he's going to be at the next level. Maybe we really should learn, and I'll look at it. The next time we see a 6'9", 280-pound man who can throw the ball into the Rocky Mountains, we should respect it. We should go, hey, that's awesome.
Or does it skip a generation because Jonathan Crompton?
There's nothing to learn. Nothing to learn from
nothing,
Josh Allen.
No.
You're right.
The mistake was when he came in, we tried to apply things we had learned before. They were all mm-hmm. wrong. Take note. Adjust nothing based on what he has done. He is the anomaly in every way. It is beautiful. It's gorgeous and wonderful. Celebrate it and treasure it. Mm-hmm. except for like his old tweets and stuff, but like he changes nothing about how I view football players. Like he is a miracle on the field and that's wonderful, but that's it. Like the next 6'8" dude who can throw it a million miles, it probably will complete 12% of his passes.
That's
fair enough.
That's an accurate representation of his college stats, by the way, Jason. That is correct. Lifetime 12% passer at the University of Wyoming. Playing behind an offensive line who, from my understanding, were all 165 pounds. That's
yeah. What was your passer rating at the University of Wyoming?
Better. I was a much better quarterback than Josh Allen was.
Yeah, 165-pound linemen who were facing 160-pound linemen. Like, there's nothing in his college career that indicated this was even possible. Like, his team was, by Mountain West standards, pretty average in talent. Like, mm-hmm. There was nothing that prepared anyone for this, and that is the beauty of it.
And, you know, the draft is coming up, and that means it's almost time for us to do our annual rage at all of the NFL come lately types who just get here. But is the Josh Allen approach, is Josh Allen teaching us a lesson here? Should we just accept and be happy? Should we just accept whatever comes to us next as a series of discrete miracles and not base it on anything that came before?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think as college fans, there was like that whole, you know, for the whole, the 2010s, let's call it, where it's like, we talk so much shit when we hit on a Russell Wilson, right? We told the NFL they should draft Russell Wilson, that we were right. We're so smart. We're so goddamn smart. We were wrong as shit all the fucking time, just like the boring GMs we made fun of and all that shit. And guess who was right about Josh Allen? They made the fun pick and they were right and we were wrong. So like, yeah, let's just celebrate every single player who gets picked. Mm.
It does seem to save us a lot of work.
Yeah. Cause like, who gives a shit? I don't really care which 256 players get rich. I hope it is more than that because there are supplemental picks. There we go.
Okay.
Although, wait, there is one alternative path. It would be fun to start from now as though we have known about Josh Allen all along.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you, they're going to tell you Josh Allen didn't throw a perfect game against Bill Belichick, but we on the Shutdown Fullcast told you this many years ago. And we'll find a way to insert the audio. Here we go. We'll just throw this back like 5 years ago, right? So this, I was watching Wyoming the other day. There's the first lie. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Josh Allen, man, he's so accurate. And it's not in the numbers yet, but if you grind tape like I do, then you'll see. Yeah. And like someday in the NFL, his passes right now, he's only completing 12%. And in the NFL, he's going to incomplete 12%. That's what I foresee once he's a pro. So we'll just take that audio and we'll throw it back a few years ago.
You know, the Bills really do have a bunch of dudes who everyone was wrong about. Like, they've got a ton of dudes who are like Isaiah McKenzie. Yeah, he's going to be too small to be in the NFL. Nope. Going to be just fine. Dog respecter that I am. Had to mention him first.
I feel like Cole Beasley and Mitch Trubisky are they're on the roster. I'm like, honestly, I'm fine being wrong about Cole Beasley. I'll just stay wrong about Cole Beasley. That's fine.
Dawson Knox was barely used at Ole Miss. And he was out there catching important passes, including a ball that, this is how hot Josh Allen was on Sunday, by the way. Sometimes a quarterback tries to throw it away and accidentally throws a touchdown. That was what he did. He goes, yeah, I just turned around. I thought I'd throw the ball away, and everyone's cheering. I'm like, oh, I must have really thrown it away well. But yeah, they've got him. They've got Dawson Knox, you know, like completely miscast at Ole Miss, evidently. They've got Stephon Diggs, who I will just say, being a skilled player out of Maryland, that's enough adversity in itself, given the history of Maryland over the past 10 to 15 years. Shouts out to the Bills for buying low and selling high, baby. You know, except in the case of Josh Allen, who smart draft Knicks like
bought correctly.
Jason Kirk bought correctly and estimated as successes. I feel like maybe we should just go back and overdub things like, oh yeah, you
that's
know
what
who's
I'm saying. That's exactly
success?
What I'm saying.
Josh Allen.
Right? Like very clumsily over the footage.
That's what I was doing that audio. So we
yeah.
put that right back in.
I think that was far too skillful. I think we should just go back and dub his name over players thought were going to be really good.
Players we actually liked. Yeah, like when we said, like, you should draft Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel's going to be incredible.
We said Josh Allen.
Clearly.
Also, thank you for mentioning that the backup here is Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
To recap how badly you are getting your ass beat in a football game, it is 6 degrees, but that's okay because it feels like -8 at game time thanks to the wind in Orchard Park. On top of all of that, you are getting absolutely run over. The Bills did not fail to score until the final possession of the game, where I believe they knelt. So they did not. You did not do anything you were supposed to do. Anything. And on top of all that, you had to go all the way up to Buffalo and get dildos thrown at you.
Yeah.
Bildos, if you will.
I'd like to turn here to... I can't do the Dan Carlin voice that you guys can, but I'd like to turn here to a tweet from Six Angry Ghosts,
mm-hmm.
Who is talking about the dildo situation as Dan Carlin. Folks, getting hit with silicone at room temperature is one thing. I don't like it, but it's warm enough, and you move on. When it's frozen solid, and this is what the Patriots were facing, down after down, after 3rd and 17. Thank you, Six Angry Ghosts.
Again. That's a good Dan. That's a good Dan.
And again.
Thank you. I learned from watching the best, by which I mean you guys.
Just going up there, get dildos thrown at you while you're losing by 4 scores. It's a bad time. I don't care how much you're getting paid. That's a bad time.
You know how bad you're getting beat when, like, the entire internet is just posting, like, here's the one I think they bought. It costs about $20. And, like, people are just posting screenshots of, like, I think I've identified it. And, like, debating, what? Why would you waste that much money? Well, because, look, it's on TV. Why wouldn't you?
What is the security screening procedure to get into the Bills Stadium, and how were these concealed?
Security at the Bills Stadium.
How much of what is on the field has been inside someone in the stands that day?
Nope, they were wearing those on the outside of their pants when they walked in, as is tradition.
I think, yeah, a fucking Bills game, you walk in holding it.
They only
might sell them there.
I don't know if you, yeah.
Can we, okay, talking of expenses and Bills games, I have a question for our many, many Bills Mafia aficionados out there. Aren't folding tables expensive?
They've,
like,
got to
have. I have one of those white, or do they go back together? Because I have one of those white plastic ones, and I feel like I remember it cost like $90.
Wow.
I don't think they're that cheap.
Yeah, I feel like
you
can get a better deal if you're in the market for falling on one, I think.
It's got to be part of the calculus for any Walmart or superstore in the Buffalo metropolitan area at this point, because I've seen far too many of them to think that it actually isn't impacting demand at this point.
Do you think that...
Like, what do you do with them after that?
Build a statue of Josh Allen, I think. Do you think maybe the local community, the Buffalo economy, is like nothing but like dildo factories and table factories? And they're just like, they got fucking piles and piles of dildos here. They got to go somewhere. I'm
going to
wing them at Bill Belichick's head.
What are the major exports of the area? Dildos, table, and sauce.
So if you've got like
copper,
a standard... Let's talk throwing motion.
Oranges
and dildos. You've got a standard
dildos.
Issue dildo.
Yeah.
And you're winging it at the sideline. Which end are you throwing it by?
Are you trying to get a spiral, or are you going tomahawk throw?
Are you going... I feel like Hi-Li is what I'm picturing.
Potato
here.
Masher?
The first instinct that I have, and this is where I'm sorry that you all can't see this, but the first instinct I have is almost to sidearm it.
Yeah.
And that suggests that you have to grasp it by the head.
Well, then it might boomerang back at you. That's dangerous.
There's so, because like of all that torque you have working with you, if you have the nutsack is what you're swinging, is what's on the,
right.
is what's on the business end.
Right.
Just a little flick of the wrist is going to get that thing sailing.
Because if you're,
but
if
otherwise, you're doing a lot of work.
Right. Because if you're grasping it by the sack, it's almost the same as like you're throwing a flag, right?
Yeah.
You've almost got that motion because you've got the weight in your hand. But you can almost get like a, what is that medieval weapon with the cannonballs at either end and the string?
Oh, yeah, no, the chain shot, right?
Yeah. I feel like you could almost get, if you have a long enough one and you're holding it by the head and you kind of side, like a rock skipping motion.
Getting
right?
out my notebook and writing down the phrase, could Bills fan demast a galleon?
If you sidearm it across your, like I'm right-handed, so if I'm throwing it from right to left and I'm sidearming it across my body in like a rock skipping motion.
Yeah.
That feels like it has a lot more potential to do a lot more damage, but also much higher degree of difficulty to not just like wing it leftwards down the stands. I didn't expect to be thinking about this so much today, but I think we need to go down the hill and buy some dildos.
Call NASA.
I'm gonna propose a sport, dildo hi-li.
Oh.
Does that mean somebody has to get it thrown at them?
Both cultures already wildly apparent in Miami.
That's weird. Yeah, that's the sport they'll turn to.
That's the hot spot. Yeah. You know, if you're down with dildo hi-li, you got to get to Dade County. Crazy about
it. What about dildo racquetball? Just for the bouncy ones.
Feels more like a Naples
sport. You need a really bouncy wall, I think.
Mm. Yeah, you need a particular...
Oh, trampoline gyms. This is what we do with all the trampoline gyms. Dildo hi-li has to be played in a trampoline gym. That gives us national reach.
Here you go. You throw the dildo up and people shoot at it. You know what that's called? You know what the name of that sport is? It's called skeet shooting.
God damn it. God damn it.
I went to middle school, as you can tell.
In Georgia. That's right. Home of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Home of the goddamn best program in all of college sports.
That's right. Thank you, Betty.
Nature lifts its voice to concur.
Yes, I do respect the dogs.
Betty's voice, I've decided, is like Meatwad's girlfriend, which doesn't really fill in well here.
Son of a bitch, don't you talk shit about Stetson Bennett the Ninth?
Yes, exactly. That's her voice. Like if Meatwad had either a lady friend or a meemaw.
I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to see the trophy. I'm going to kiss it.
Betty, come here, babe. Betty, come here.
No, don't sanitize that shit. Give it here. I ain't waiting.
Don't wipe Kirby's kisses off that trophy.
No. No. Get Kirby's kisses in my system. I want that excellence.
That's actually what they mean by a system player.
I gotta go scout the newborn ward. I gotta go see what babies are biggins. Get them biggins up to Athens. Biggins.
Okay.
We need them biggins. Get them all up to Athens. Get them fast.
Betty.
Feed them Zaxby's until they get great.
Okay, she's not going to stop until you stop doing that voice.
No, she won't. That's right.
That's fine. This is good
go
audio.
Go dogs. This dog is going.
Does that, Spencer, does that hurt your throat at all after?
Not one bit. I can do this all night long, you son of a bitch.
Okay. Because that's just like, I literally
talk
just.
Talk about them dogs.
In my head, I tried to arrange my throat to make the sound you're making, and it was like, ow.
No,
I didn't even make any noises.
It's like Michigan. That's light work.
Oh, go
just
blue.
See them nerds. Beat the shit out of them nerds.
Yeah, when like we say go blue, we're referring, of course, to the baby blue state of Georgia.
I'm talking about Greg Blue. That's right. Them dogs.
It's kind of Meatwad, and it's kind of not.
It's kind of Meatwad, and it's kind of Meemaw.
Yeah, a little bit of Meemaw in there.
I got my women's Bible group in the morning. Y'all go to bed.
That's right. I got to get up and grind tape. So I can find the next Josh Allen.
Does do this.
Recovery is important. Also, I'm going to claim that territory, just like the dogs claim the entire Southeast for recruiting. That's right. You got somebody? We ought to made him an offer.
Pissed and shitted over all the entire Southeast.
That's right. I peed all over this 5-star defensive tackle. He loved it. It's territory marking. That's all. And by pee, I mean money.
Long story short, by way of getting to a talking dog calling everyone a son of a bitch for disrespecting the Georgia Bulldogs.
I can lick my own asshole. I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah.
It took more work than licking Michigan did.
That's right. That's right. We got that butt out of here quick, didn't we? Didn't we?
She has this look of bitter recrimination
like,
to come
I
on her face.
I know
you're
making
right
fun
now.
Of me. And I can't figure out how. I feel like maybe we need to respect the dogs a little bit more, though.
How?
Well, I wanted to see if you guys would like to play a highly subjective game where I get you to...
Like the SEC championship?
That's correct. Shouts out to the officials. You tried to take that from us?
Like the Music City Bowl?
That's right. Like the music said about, which they actually did take from y'all. Very sorry about that.
No, it's all right. There's a bit enough separation now that I think I can say this without getting strung up somewhere. That's the best thing that could have happened to this program, because emotionally, Tennessee is the least equipped team in the goddamn country to handle a bowl win. They cannot deal with it.
Josh Heupel knew this.
They cannot deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say this in my home state at the moment. Come get me.
Also,
I feel like with Tennessee, it's like the preseason number 19 ranking is the equivalent of like Texas is third.
Yes. It's
pressure's all yours now, Purdue. All eyes on you.
I don't mind losing to Purdue. Purdue's fun.
Also, shouts out to Josh Heupel for just deciding. No, we've had enough football for today.
Yep.
That's it. We're gonna go for it and get this shit out of the way. We're tired.
You know, I like him more than I thought I would a year ago.
Yeah. Like, that's enough Purdue. We've had enough Purdue.
It was in the Peach Bowl. Like the Peach Bowl was like well underway while that game was still going, and it was like no one cares. It was just fun being in the press box and like every computer is tuned to the fucking Purdue Tennessee Bowl during an important bowl.
5 scores in the last 4 minutes. Perfect bowl game. No notes. None.
Thank you. Speaking of Purdue, thank you to Travis Miller, who tweeted at the Shutdown Fullcast while we were having this conversation, saying, anyone want to go in together for a Black Hawk? He means the helicopter, not the bird, for sale in Huntsville, Alabama. That's a real Black Hawk. All right. Bidding closes in. Current bid is $250,000.
What?
Reserve not met.
$250,000 for a Black Hawk seems like a deal.
Man, we've been talking about what we're going to do for our next tour, if there ever is a post-COVID times where we can tour again, and Cruton helicopter seems like the way to go.
Cruton helicopter. If you recruited with a Black Hawk, that actually might be bad. You might get return fire in some spots, depending on where you're recruiting. Government's coming.
It looks like a brand new one will run you about $6 to $10 million. So,
oh, this is a deal.
This one must have been through some things.
No, that's what they tell you. As soon as you get that Black Hawk off the lot, it loses like 90% of its retail value.
What kind of mileage you got on that thing?
What kind of gas mileage this thing get?
Let me hear about it in the comments here at blackhawkowners.com. What would you put
at what?
Black Hawk. Oh boy, that is an unfortunate series of syllables to string together unclearly, isn't it? What would you put, by the way, if you had to outfit your, like, what's the thing you put in your helicopter?
Livewell.
It's a good fish. I'm gonna fish off it. Just
they hover
hovering
for a reason.
They just hover like 5 feet above the water as you cast in. Zzz. Although you'd lose some lures in the rotors. That's gonna happen. Right.
Yeah. I'm probably dropping a table out of it and dropping an elbow from the helicopter to support my Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Like your own flying circus.
They would do that, by the way. That may be what's coming up, right? Like, how are you going to top it? Because I saw a couple of absolutely form perfect Randy Savage elbow drops, including one gentleman who had an unreal and unsafe degree of height, even by Bills Mafia standards. Somebody's probably already planning the helicopter drop, Jason.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if they go to the damn Super Bowl, what they're going to do. What are these people going to do? They're going to bring out fucking Jeff Hardy.
Yes! Broken Jeff Hardy! Broken Bills!
What's left of Jeff Hardy? Yeah. It's probably for the good of, like, public health and safety if the Bills lose at some point, but... In terms of human achievement, however,
in terms of, listen, we can't get in the way of human achievement.
Who am I to oppose great art?
Yeah,
who am I to oppose nerdy shit like safety?
The city of Buffalo is literally burned to the ground. There are 3 homes left, and everyone in the city going, "Worth it? Worth it?"
I need to provide an update of both art and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Walt Hickey, who runs the numlock.news newsletter, former 538, longtime friend of the program, who interviewed some Channel 6 executives of my acquaintance a couple weeks ago, popped up yesterday to say that, did y'all know that Alexander Graham Bell, famed for inventing the telephone, has also invented the airboat?
No.
No.
Here, let me phrase this. Aircraft engine test boat called the Ugly Duckling.
So that's, huh.
So that's what it was for? He didn't like the Pac-12 either. But I wish he'd focused more. I wish we'd focus more on the good he did and not the ability to let other people call me.
If I had to trade the telephone or the airboat, I'm going to opt airboat every time.
Mm-hmm. Now nobody knows my business and I have an airboat.
You'd have to pull up on the airboat to ask me about the warranty on my car.
This shit was 1905 in Canada. Imagine seeing that in 1905 in Canada. Airplane motors being tested across water.
Just blow your mind. The ice.
Enjoy that the concept of the airplane at that point was still so relatively new that somebody immediately was like, on water! Just did it. Like, I mean, like, well, how are you going to rig it up? Is it just put it on a boat? Just nail it on there.
The makeshift raft-like vessel was unable to obtain a speed faster than 4 miles per hour.
4 miles per hour, though, and at that time, though, that had to feel like light speed, right? Like, ah!
He meandered so that Jeremy Shockey could fly.
That's correct. The father of the jet ski. We'll just call him that.
I never knew this, that we learned planes by putting planes in water. I was not aware.
Know this at all.
No, you could pretty much just try anything. It's still totally, like, all right, it's not totally legal. Back then, it wasn't even, like, seriously legal. I have a note, by the way, from producer Server. Michael, how do you pronounce this day?
Dingus Day.
Oh, okay.
What is Dingus Day?
So I found out about Dingus Day from a friend of mine from Buffalo. It's like they do it on the Monday after Easter. It's like the end of Lent, and it's basically like a Polish St. Patrick's Day. And like the traditions are like they dump water on each other. And like give each other pussy willows, like pussy
like
willows.
The buds?
Yeah,
okay.
Pussy willows play a huge part in the festivities. I've never been, obviously, but it's like it sounded like the most bizarre thing. But my friend who was from Buffalo, they would get so fucking hyped to go home for Dingus Day, like didn't go home for Christmas, went home for Dingus Day.
Are there any extraneous holidays that you guys have gone home for in your youth? I can't think of one.
No, not one, unless you count like Talladega.
That's a holiday.
Which I might.
They do it. Apparently, they celebrate this in Eastern Europe too. Like, but Buffalo is just the place in America where they do it, and it's the biggest one in the country. And I've seen pictures, and it looks fucked. They all wear these stupid hats and stuff, too. Like, everyone looks really weird. They're really into it, which is kind of cool.
The lead on this WGRZ segment on Dingus Day in Buffalo is Dateline Buffalo, New York. The coronavirus pandemic can't stop the pussy willows in Buffalo.
Good Christ.
Yes.
They cannot take our freedoms. You.
Another from Buffalo News, how Buffalo is keeping that Dingus Day state of mind.
Oh, so say we all. Oh, we're going to Buffalo, right? This settles it. Nothing
for
like,
Dingus Day? Absolutely.
Nothing like upstate New York in March. Is it upstate? I don't know.
Dingus Day is about renewal. It's about renewal. And the pussy willows.
I'll tell you one. Hey, we did get one correction. Not a correction, but a correction that I actually will read. We had multiple civil engineers write into us after last week's segment on architectural sensei Dr. Ronald Hamburger. The mighty O at Omar United wants to point out that many of the civil engineers just regarded this with abject horror. Omar writes in to let us know that there is a reason for waiting 4 days between installing the piles and grouting them. The 4-day gap has a structural explanation. So according to him, to know if the piles are deep enough, typically you have to wait 72 hours before doing a retest to make sure that they have reached the required depth and resistance to movement. And that delay allows the soils to recompact, like, to, you know, like if you're, this might be a hand in the dirt segment. Now, you know, after you repot a plant, you have to like let the water settle and then maybe put some more soil in. You can grout after the retest passes. Now, he wants us to know in a follow-up, the building is still a hilarious disaster, but the foray gap has a structural explanation.
Ron is not to blame for the hilarious disaster. No. I also heard per a source in the engineering industry that Ron Hamburger is indeed the vivid personality we made him out to be. So we correctly identified the colorfulness of that man's general life presentation.
Folks, please continue to keep writing into us about Ron Hamburger. We want to hear it all.
We need to know all things Hamburger.
Ron, if you're out there.
I have, in doing the usual amount of research that we do on this show, which is about about Dingus Day.
Dingus Day.
And there's another place I might have to go in Buffalo. It's called the Adam Mickiewicz Library and Dramatic Circle. It is a 120-year-old Polish library, theater, and bar that grew out of nearby St. Stanislaus Parish. So were people just like reading books and drinking at the church? And they're like, nah, you got to do it over there.
I love this.
That sounds incredible. Go watch a play, have a couple drinks, maybe read a book while this is all happening. You know, relax, get my dingus on. Be awesome.
Get it on what?
It's a great question, Jason.
When Serber referred to this day as like a Polish St. Patrick's Day, I've been looking up like the patron saints of Poland at this time. There's not a lot of very funny stuff there in the top layer. It is just generally funny to me that like Mary is the top ranking saint of every country, because like Mary, Queen of Poland, was like, she didn't sign up for that, but I mean, I guess you take that title, but like, sure, she's the Queen of Poland. It wouldn't exist for hundreds of years, but sure.
They were just, you know, she was just waiting on it to be formed.
It's just funny to look up one day, hundreds of years later, and discover you're the Queen of Poland and everywhere else.
I'm glad you mentioned a religious angle, because I do want to pivot up that to ask our important senior biblical affairs correspondent, Jason Kirk.
Serber.
And Serber. A question, which is this. So, do you know about Michael Turk, Oklahoma's punter, who is currently posting on TikTok about kicking a ball loose from the ceiling of Oklahoma's indoor practice facility?
Loose from the ceiling?
Someone tweeted at me about this, but I don't have much awareness.
So, like, he's kicking balls at a ball that is wedged, like, in the rafters?
So, Tress Way, who now punts for the Washington football team, in his time at Oklahoma, booted a ball so hard and so high into the ceiling in the indoor practice facility that it is jammed in one of the joints between the supports at the top.
Love it. Legendary.
It is stuck. All right. Yeah, it is legendary. Shouts out to Tress Way. I believe it is also an official NFL ball and not a regulation NCAA ball, thus slightly upping the value. In addition to all this, he's on TikTok and is going ahead and posting videos of him trying to kick a ball so that it hits the stuck ball and knocks it out. He's now on, I believe,
Tressway?
Day 8. Yes. No, Michael Turk. Turk.
Okay. Got it.
Currently, he's a transfer from Arizona State, a native of Ridge Point, Texas, who is currently punting for the Oklahoma Sooners. Okay, go. Well, what does all this have to do with the Bible?
So did you scroll down from there?
So I did.
Okay. Okay, so that's where we're going. Okay.
Yeah. So further down in his TikTok account, he has a video that is why Travis Scott's concert in Houston, you know, the one where people actually got killed, was a satanic ritual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just right there. And it's done in like the same tone. So you just listen to Michael Turk go like, yeah, man, I'm going to kick this ball loose. I think we got this. And you're like, oh, man, this guy just seems like a kind of chirpy, upbeat dude. And then like six videos down, it's like, okay, here's why Travis Scott's definitely trying to channel Satan in Houston. And this isn't even that weird. this seems like I mean, it is weird, but based on the number of people I know who probably actually think this, all right, particularly in the state of Georgia, that is the greatest football state in the nation, by the way, respect to the Dogs.
Despite our beliefs about Satan, we are the best at college football.
Maybe because of our beliefs.
Because of the amount of time we spend thinking about Satan, we are so good at college football. Yes.
We like, put up the barriers, what if all it's locked along, tight.
What if all along the whole thing is like, Satan just likes attention? Like, spending all your time like, I'm so scared of Satan, and like, oh, we're so mad at Satan. He just eats it all up. He just loves that attention
and
all the same.
Just ignore him and he'll go
away. Just like ignore him and he'll go away. This is how it works. this video this kid did is just like,
the washed in blood shirt is a nice touch.
Yeah, the washed in blood shirt is a nice,
sooner colors, no less.
Yes. He's very enthusiastic about his faith.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Bright red washed by his 7 reasons. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot to this one.
90 seconds. Entrance to hell prop. Okay. So the stage looks like some painting of like Satan doing a goatsy or something. Mm-hmm. There's a big mouth there.
There's a phrase I didn't expect to hear.
Yeah, that doesn't really alarm me. 666 months after the Church of Satan was founded. Oh, so in literally anything that happened in that month would have freaked this guy out. 666 also isn't about Satan at all. Okay, there's some painting that scared him. Okay. The stage is an upside down cross, okay, from a certain point of view. It's also a right side up cross, if you're.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't like Travis Scott's shirt. It's got red people on it. People are throwing middle fingers up. Mass rebellion to God, okay. All right, so Stone Cold Steve Austin is Satanist now. 8 people died. Anytime 8 people die, that's Satanist. So that's 7 reasons, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Now he's talking about fucking Molech. All right.
Sweet.
We're Molech. Okay, good deal.
Talking about lots sacrificing. All right, so now we're just doing QAnon. That's how we end it. All right, good.
Okay, good deal. Oklahoma's, yeah, there we go.
Oklahoma's punting is in great
hands. Sure, he's at Oklahoma State.
Can I remind you of
how did
where...
Bendy miss on this guy?
I know. God.
Can I remind you of where he transferred from? That's right, the Sun Devils.
That's where I see why he transferred from. I see why him and Herm didn't get along that well.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder why he signed on with the Sun Devils in the first place.
You share one fist of TikTok.
The harrowing of hell, evangelizing, probably.
Fair enough.
You share one festive TikTok before somebody 0.3 seconds later goes, "You mean this guy?"
It was the very next thing down.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even intend to look at this. It was just
It's
right
just
there.
Wild that like reason number 7 is a lot of people died.
Yeah,
could you lead with that? Is that the worst thing that happened, maybe? Like, not his fucking t-shirt, but the fact that people died? I don't know. That's probably reason number 1 through 7 this was a bad thing for me, is people got hurt. Not the fucking shape of his stage from a certain angle. we're so busy being freaked out by, numerology and shit. There's very concrete bad things that happened. You don't have to like introduce algebra to the shit.
Again, this is giving Satan way too much gas. This is giving Satan way too much gas, by the way. All pub is good pub. That's Satan's motto. You're just gassing him up. That's all it is, right? Just, you know, growing up, nothing was cooler than nothing in an evangelical Bible bet setting if you wanted to go straight for the cheap heat, right?
Yes, right.
You know who's around? Satan.
Yeah.
Satan's behind this. You're like, what does he look like? He's jacked.
Yeah.
He's got a cool car.
It was having it both ways. It was very much having it both ways. It was like, oh, he'll fuck you up, but guess what? He's going to lose. And it's, so am I, should I be scared of him or not? Whatever makes you come back tomorrow night.
You should be terrified of him, but not
at all.
Sunday.
You should be scared of him at all times, except for when you're in this building, not touching each other. That's it.
Yeah, so I guess he's repellent. No, he's handsome and sexy.
Yes. He's the prettiest thing in the universe. He's repulsive and God hates him.
Yeah, what is he? What is he? I guess God, like, this guy sounds like he's got nothing to offer. He just, like,
lives. No, he's got everything. Fire. It's
like money and sex and power and cool cars. Oh, and planes, so that, houses.
He sounds pretty awesome. Yes, that's his whole plan.
This dude sounds like 1980 Ric Flair.
So you're trying to tell me this guy's, like, incredibly powerful? It's like, no!
No!
He sucks! No. He's gonna lose bad, so bad. He can't do a damn thing. Okay, so should I be scared of him?
Yes! What?
No! I don't know. Just stay here. Stay right here.
This sounds like how I talk about Florida football.
Yeah.
Got it. We're Got terrible. It. We're absolutely going to beat your ass. We're sexy and pretty. Are we good? No.
Don't look at us. We're so pretty.
So, what do we have to offer you? Pain and candy. Oh, the candy. Is our quarterback an angel? Yes, but everyone else is a devil. We're both.
Yeah,
the Did wrestling heel is a great Absolutely.
One. Yeah, like the wrestling heel where it's like,
look at that cowardly, devious scumbag. He's a genius.
The dirtiest player in the game. I can't stand that bastard. He's going to win.
That guy's a total moron. He's going to outthink you at every turn. What's that say about me?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're shit. That's the other side of the message. Wait, has God made me? Am I beautiful and lovely? No, fuck you. You need to come back so that scumbag doesn't make you even worse than you already are.
He's literally the hardest worker in the building, right? Like, he's always awake. He's always looking for a way in.
First guy in, last guy out.
Yeah, he is.
Yep, that's the story.
Real gym rat.
So what's a sin? Sloth. What? Satan does not speak about sloth.
I'm trying so hard to avoid sin. I am sitting here motionless.
What you're telling me is he's putting in the work. He is a 24/7, 365 gym rat.
I mean,
that's why he's so jacked.
That's the story they sell. Like, he doesn't even have to do shit. The propaganda, it's done spun up.
See?
Now he's reaping the benefits.
Gonna be like, hey man, Satan, what you bench? 350. Don't tell anybody. Everyone thinks I'm like a 450 guy. I'm straight.
Yeah,
no, but he's got a. There's a leanness, right, that he's got to maintain.
315 tops.
Yeah,
you got to stitch together like 50 different verses of like 50 different characters to even create the idea of Satan. Like, quite arguably, this thing doesn't even exist within the story itself. And we've spun it up into this like God opposing monster that Oklahoma's punter is terrified of.
Also, if you're gonna really like go for, you know, hey, let's really, Satan's working hard. Satan wants to get the biggest bang for buck. What are we gonna do? We're gonna go to the most important place in our culture, a Travis Scott show. That's
also,
totally.
If I'm looking for fucking evidence of like a dark demonic force in this fucking world, there's a goddamn virus that's killed millions of people.
Where
we
is
could
that
call
available?
That out. Like, we could point that out, but no, it's a rap show.
Yeah. So I got to enjoy.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
I got to enjoy an innocuous ball kicking video for 0.3 seconds.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
An innocuous punt stunt. For 0.3 seconds before.
I said I was sorry.
We can't even look at fucking punt trick shots these days without goddamn Satan.
Surprise! Look what, who's the last punt
I knew it.
Who's the last famous punt trick shot guy you remember?
Hitler. That's right.
No, Johnny Mack's worse.
Yeah. That's true. He was the last trick shot video dude. And now.
Just saying.
Currently undermining American democracy.
He's like really
shots.
Important. Like, he's like an actual important villain now.
Yeah. Remember the two dudes, by the way, on that? It was Johnny McAtee and Dan Orlovsky.
The gruesome duo, if ever there was one.
Now one spreading the gossip of fascism and the other...
Is Dan Orlovsky.
Raging
the other
against
is
the tyranny
McAtee.
Of spicing.
God damn it, I got it wrong.
Speaking of Satan, let's talk about Paprika. Hi, I'm Dan Orlovsky.
Speaking of Satan, let's talk about homefieldapparel.com.
That's right,
which
Indiana.
Will keep you warm.
Warmer than the embrace of the Dark One himself.
Warmer than the fires of hell this winter. Homefieldapparel.com. With offer code FULLCAST, you can receive 20% off your first order. If this is your first time hearing the good news of Homefield Apparel, then that will work
you
for you.
You have to fight.
That's a pretty good idea, Homefield Club.
That's a reference that I made up.
where everyone just snuggles because we're too comfy to fight. Mm-hmm. They have numerous colleges, and they're dropping ones that play basketball these days. I'm a Georgia Bulldogs fan, so I'm not quite familiar with what that is, but I'm told we have Tom Crean, coaches our university in that sport.
Who?
That man could use some home field pants. That's what I know.
Could use some joggers. He really could, because you don't have to hike those up to your nipples.
He might be wearing joggers under his khakis, for all we know.
He's just battle ready, baby.
That would actually explain some of his outline.
How are we doing in basketball this year? Let me look it up for the first time.
Shouts out. That's Georgia Bulldogs, who I'm sure are five and twelve.
The 5-12 men's team. How fare the Lady Dogs? A lot better. A lot better. Women's basketball. We're a women's basketball school.
That's right. Not as good as.
I'm not sure I can pull through this part of the character.
Speaking of hell, you can honor the mouth of Hellgate Canyon itself. That's correct. Purchasing either Montana or Montana State gear, which is new on Home Field Apparel this month. Some fantastic stuff, including a Fighting Bobcat shirt, where it really does look like a giant cat. Not like a fighting bobcat, but just like a giant kitty cat. I'm going to buy it. There's also, if you just want to buy the most ambiguous apparel shirt, which is nonetheless stylish, the Montana State cat script. It just says cats. You could be a Montana State fan. Maybe you're just about them felines.
Does it come in
maybe
puffy
paint? Maybe just a fan of the species.
Mm-hmm. We can make it puffy paint for you.
Thank you.
I mean you, not the listener. You don't get that. I'll do that extra for $5 if you send it to me. Somebody's going to try to take me up on that. Damn it.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. I think you just created a supply chain issue for Home Field Apparel.
HomeFieldApparel.com. That sounds like a lot of gear to buy, Jason.
Yeah, if you're in the sudden need, Home Field, for a lot of equipment that'll enable Spencer to like bedazzle shirts or whatever, you're going to need to do investments at acorns.com/fullcast, which is the place where when you buy stuff, it invests money for you. That's their tagline, I believe, the official company tagline. How it works is you go to that URL, acorns.com/fullcast. There is no space to put in an offer code. You just go to acorns.com/fullcast. You type those words. Those are the things you type. And then you download a new account and whatever with that has $5 in it all ready to go. And then you start investing. And then you retire.
Holy shit.
Skip a few steps in between, but.
Right now we have, in terms of the early account, which is Acorns, really clever, nice little interface, easy to use way to put aside a little bit of money for your kids on the side. I currently, in terms of my embezzling sons who have been trading turns atop the leaderboard in terms of investment, right now we have a $57 lead for the younger child.
How did this happen?
I think the crypto play and the NFT thing probably is going a little bit better than expected for one of them. And then somebody else bought the wrong Bored Ape. Somebody else bought the wrong terrible piece of online art.
My apes.
They're very bored.
Did we do this on the show already?
They're very bored. It doesn't matter. I will do Bored Apes.
Did we do Monkey Police on the show?
Did we sing the entirety of Radiohead's Monkey Police? Arrest this ape. That is the update on how my sons are doing investment wise. As for me, I am on track to retire when I am 87, which is great because that's about how long I planned on making it.
Yeah, just punching the clock on your last day and heading
that's
out
it.
For
yeah,
good.
Nope, I did it.
Like
I
Bear Bryant,
the number.
If I can't work. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
If I can't put money into this, that's how dedicated I am to Acorns. If I can't put money into this Acorns account,
I'm taking my Acorns money and going home.
Bury me with it.
To the dirt. Bury me with my Acorns account.
Bury me with my Acorns account. That's right. acorns.com/fullcast/bury me with my dirt.
Yep. Do we have anything else to say about the Georgia Bulldogs today? Or
I wanted to see if we could play a quick game of Damn Good Dog. That would be where I'm going to award points. You're going to each get four different shots.
My game is first.
Your game is first?
Yeah.
Which game is this?
Okay, time for our weekly segment, as Georgia Lifers called, How's Your Tahoe?
Oh,
Spencer,
yeah.
Spencer, how is your Chevy Tahoe?
You know, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Glad to hear it. Serber, how is your Tahoe?
Just clean them tires. Got some of that Meguiar's tire cleaner for them.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
They look real good. They look real good.
Glad to hear it. Jason, how's your Tahoe?
Well, we put the snow tires on it because we had about a quarter inch of snow. So we went ahead and braved the snow to Publix and back. Tahoe held up just great.
Glad to hear you're hunkering down like all good dogs. And that has been How's Your Tahoe? All right, Spencer, back to you.
Thank you so much. And go dogs. I wanted to go ahead and see if
and
we
go
could
dogs
just,
see you as well.
You got to keep the devil out. You got to say go
man,
dogs.
God wags. I don't.
Yeah, because you don't. Satan's recruiting every day. Not like Kirby. Not like Kirby. But, you know. I wanted to go ahead and see if we could, you know, just remember some dogs. Just name a couple of damn good dogs and see what we got points-wise. I'm going to go ahead and ask both of you to give me four shots. And if you give me the four, you know, best dogs to remember, I'm just going to award the points as they come. We'll see. You know what? We'll be the dogs against Alabama. We'll just see. We'll settle on the scoreboard.
Ooh. Are we naming dogs we actually like?
You know what? You can just name a dog.
Memorability? Is that the general criteria?
Yeah, you know what? We're just going to go with it here.
Rennie Curran.
So Holly has selected Rennie Curran.
That's a hard one to top. That's one of the damnedest good dogs that ever has been.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So is damnedness the criteria?
Oh, shit.
Damn goodness.
Okay.
Damn gooditude.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Garrison Hurst.
Let's see. I think you're both, this is on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the best damn dog imaginable. These are both solid fours. I'm going to give you both solid
fours.
Yeah, I'm going to give Rennie a solid four. He would have been a 5, but I think, you know, upon revision, I'm going to both give you 4. So right now you're both tied at 4. That's an excellent call. Round 2, both tied at 4. We'll go ahead and give Jason first go this time.
Let me go with, let's see here. I'll go with DJ Shockley.
DJ Shockley. You know, I met him personally, so I have to give him a 5 for damn good dog in this, Jason. Because he's going to be mad at me if I didn't. Because, you know, I meet all of my fellow Georgia Bulldogs. Holly.
Joe Cherishinsky. The 4th.
The 4th. See, okay. Mm-hmm. I was good. If you'd gone for any of the previous models, that's clearly somewhere in that 2 to 4 range. Okay,
being specific.
But man, you gave the numeral, and frankly, any dog with the numeral, that's a 5-star dog. I'm gonna go ahead.
4's done us a lot of luck this year.
That's good. That's good.
Not that they need luck.
We're gonna go ahead. You're both tied at 9.
Luck may also be satanic.
Tied at 9 going into round 3 of let's remember a damn good dog. I believe this time I have Holly going first.
AJ Green.
Oh, whew, that is a solid 5-star dog there. Go ahead, Jason.
I gotta go big. Let me go Geno Atkins.
Damn. Both of you pulling solid 5s, and of course honoring the Georgia Bulldogs of the NFL, that's correct. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, who just like our beloved dogs, won a playoff game.
Maybe it's all coming up. I'm telling you. See, it all comes around. Y'all laugh. Y'all keep laughing, okay? Just keep laughing. Hardy, har, har. We hear it. 1980 all over again. You know who else was good in 1980? That's right, the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to go ahead and give you 5 for each. You are tied at 14 going into the final round. I do have one thing, by the way. We do have a sponsored message here before we go into the final round of Let's Remember Some Good Dogs. That's right. I want everybody to remember that I know you haven't forgotten, but just in case you did, that our thoughts turn to spring now. It's a beautiful time in the state of Georgia. Flowers are blooming, pollen sitting an inch deep on the hood of your car. But what I want you to also remember that it's a time to remember how we beat them sad-ass Florida Gators. That's correct. Put them in the dirt. That beautiful dirt. That fertile dirt that sprouts blossoms. Blossoms like those that you'll see at Augusta National this spring. That's right. I didn't know there were vocals to this, but I'm just going to talk over them anyway.
What the hell are they singing about?
I have no idea. I didn't know there were lyrics to this, but I assume they're awesome.
Azaleas.
They're singing about golf.
They're singing. Why wouldn't you sing about golf, Jason? As a dog, you'd understand.
It's too precious to sing about. It's I don't utter the name of golf.
It's like Georgia football, which we love so much that we express strictly through the music of barking and canine vocalization. That's right. April 4th, the Masters. Not that you forgot about it or have tickets to it because you're poor.
But
broke.
Rich in Tahoe.
Yes, but rich in Tahoe. And in championships, that's right. Just a reminder, the only thing you're going to find of equal excellence to the Georgia Bulldogs is the Masters. On CBS.
And Nickelodeon, I wish. NFL was on CBS and Nickelodeon at the same time. Let's just simulcast all CBS on Nickelodeon.
That Nickelodeon kid that they had on yesterday was elite.
He was so good.
I'm not making fun of anything.
No, he was so good. I think we do need, when you hit the water hazard at Augusta, it should just be a fountain of slime, right?
And you should have a kid
talk to you after any point of this. Why'd you do that?
That kid
hey,
exclaiming.
I don't think that was what you're supposed to do.
That kid being like, yo, that shot was crap.
And fucking young Sheldon is explaining, you're actually not supposed to hit the golf ball there.
I was thinking like Harley Simmons in Iron Man 3. Like, do you need medication?
There are golfers.
Do you need more?
Golfers are pretty low on social skills. I'm pretty sure one of them would assault the kid. Right? Mm. Colin Montgomery in his prime would have done it. Get me here, you little...
I mean, if that's the line.
So... we are now entering the final round of Let's Remember a Damn Good Dog. You are both stramatic, both tied at 14 after exhausting Bengals/Georgia greats Geno Atkins and AJ Green. So consider your choice carefully this round. It is the final round. That means Jason has the lead on.
It's a good Masters voice, Spencer.
Go.
I feel good. I'm gonna continue the same strategy as before. We're going George Foster.
George. Oh, man. You had to get a 5-star right there. That's correct. George Foster, Big Fost. You know, I know him, and he'd beat my ass if I didn't give him 5 stars.
Yes.
You know, and as a fellow dog, I have to pay him that respect because he's much larger than I am.
The size of an armoire and can out-hike you, which is terrifying.
He is. He's got very long legs, so they could catch me with ease. So I'm going to have to give you a 5. That takes you to 19. This is a tough, tough call, Holly. You have to equal a 5-star dog here.
Boss Bailey.
Whew. Damn, I'm going to have to give you a 19. That is another 5-star. Oh. We're tied at 19. That's right. That's right. We're going to call this a Ray Goff. That's a tie. Like he had with Auburn in his final game. Shouts out to the King of Chicken Fingers himself, who was in attendance, right? Which I love that Ray Goff got to show up to the parade, right? Like, guess who else is here? Ray Goff!
Who laid the groundwork, you mean?
That's right. That's right. For a dynasty.
My God, that's Jim Donnan's music.
Yeah, he carried the torch, and he let it burn his hands.
Who recruited Kirby?
He was probably Ray Goff.
Who recruited Mike Bobo?
Let's see. He played 95.
I think it was
Ray.
There
we go.
I think it might have been.
I think it was. Yeah, again, none of this would have happened.
So, yeah, 94, Ray Goff. Ray Goff.
Ray Goff saw the plan. He knew. He knew.
He said, this is the chosen one. This kid, this dork right here is going to lead us to glory.
You know who else he recruited? He's like, I'm gonna need somebody to wreck not one, but two of my rivals. I'm going to need to recruit somebody who can absolutely destroy both Florida and South Carolina single-handedly. How can I do that? This boy must champ looks like he's up to the challenge. Let's recruit him and bring him on.
The dynasty killer, Ray Goff.
I have the prince and the dark prince, both on the same team.
Stupid prince.
Please don't forget, that's national champion Will Muschamp to you.
His second ring. National champion, stupid prince Will Muschamp.
National champion, stupid prince, an official administrative position.
Stupid champion.
I'm a stupidest champion.
Hey, man, it's better than just being stupid. I'd rather be a stupid champion than a smart not champion.
Go dogs.
Gotta look out.
Go dogs.
couch. Sick.
Introducing your kids to finances and gift cards can be quite a task. You don't want to limit them with traditional gift cards that only work for one specific store, or give them a credit or debit card and have them run unsupervised. But don't worry, because something epic is here. The Epic Gift Card is a gift card for kids and teens that lets them spend safely and securely. The Epic Gift Card was created with kids and teens in mind, letting them freely use it at virtually any age-appropriate retailer they want. Epic was developed by experts to ensure it's perfect for your kids, giving you relief that it'll be used responsibly while they get to buy exactly what they want. From celebrating their daily victories to preparing them for a future financial responsibility to giving them a fantastic gift, with Epic, the sky's the limit for your kids. Visit epiccard.com today to learn all about this incredible gift card. That's EPIK card.com. EPIK card.com.